Welcome to The Juice Today, an audio edition of The Juice that lets educators and parents stay informed about what their students are reading.
Welcome to The Deep Dive. Australia just became the first country to ban social media for anyone under 16.
Which is a huge move.
A huge move. It affects something like 2 million kids on platforms like TikTok and Instagram.
Mm-hmm. And Prime Minister Albanese, he's basically framing it as a way to get kids to do other things.
Mm.
You know, sports, reading, instead of just scrolling.
But it's not that simple, is it? The policy is based on mental health studies, but there is immediate pushback.
Right. Opponents are saying, one, it's going to be incredibly difficult to actually enforce. And two, it might actually make some kids more isolated.
Especially those who find their community online.
Meanwhile, the companies face fines of up to, what, $33 million if they don't comply? X even asked for a delay.
So that sets up a really interesting conversation for you to have. First, that balance between protecting mental health and, well, the right to connect with people online.
And second, just the practical side. How does a global platform even begin to enforce a strict age ban in just one country? It's a real challenge.
Okay, so speaking of big picture impacts, let's pick it from national policy to a global one. A new report from the Gates Foundation has a frankly, disturbing projection.
Yeah, this one is tough. For the first time this century, child mortality rates are actually projected to go up.
Reversing decades of progress.
Decades of progress. And the report ties it directly to major funding cuts for international medical aid.
A 20% budget cut, with a lot of that coming from the U.S. under the Trump administration, could lead to 12 million additional child deaths by 2045.
It's a staggering number. And it just shows how that funding affects real things, like access to vaccines or medicine for malaria and AIDS.
So a good question to explore is how learning that, how one policy decision can have such massive leverage, changes how you analyze public health.
Yeah, and you can also look at how fragile all that previous progress really was when the funding gets pulled.
Okay, so while that's happening on the global stage, let's look at some innovation happening on a much smaller scale. And this is a great story.
This one is fantastic, yeah. A high school team from Lambert High in Atlanta won an award at a huge competition, iGEM, for their work fighting Lyme disease.
And they used CRISPR technology to do it.
They did. Lyme disease is caused by this bacteria from ticks, and it's treatable if you catch it really early.
So what the students did was they used CRISPR to literally cut the bacteria's DNA, which exposed certain proteins.
Which then let them design a rapid test, kind of like a home COVID test. The whole idea is early detection to improve the outcome for patients.
So the discussion points here are pretty clear. First, what are the opportunities and, you know, the responsibilities when high schoolers start using powerful tech like CRISPR?
And then more broadly, why is that rapid early detection just so critical for so many different complex diseases?
From the microscopic to the interplanetary, NASA's Perseverance rover might have found evidence of lightning on Mars.
Yeah, this is really cool. Researchers looked at about 28 hours of audio and electromagnetic data from the rover.
And they found these weird electric discharges.
Right, and they happen most often during Mars's big dust storms. So the theory is that the churning dust creates friction, then static electricity, and then, well, lightning.
So for a discussion, this is a perfect example of inferential science, right? How scientists use indirect data, sound, electromagnetic readings to figure out what's happening on a planet millions of miles away.
Exactly. And you could also discuss why confirming lightning is so important for understanding the atmosphere and, you know, the overall climate and habitability of Mars.
And very briefly on the diplomatic front, President Zelensky has been meeting with European leaders to try and build consensus for a workable peace plan.
Mm-hmm. Trying to get everyone on the same page, though Russia's official response has been pretty dismissive so far.
Finally, the quote of the day came from Oscar Niemeyer.
The great Brazilian architect. He's known for that iconic modernist style. You see it in the UN headquarters and the entire city, Brasilia. Lots of reinforced concrete, big sweeping curves.
And his quote was all about simplicity, optimism, and creating a world equal to everyone. It was really a social vision built out of concrete.
Which is a great final theme. How can a building or a whole city reflect political ideas? And looking at all these articles, you see how decisions at every level, from a global policy down to a high school lab, have these real measurable impacts.
So that leaves a final thought for you to consider. When you think about the rise in child mortality on one hand and that high school team tackling Lyme disease on the other, it really makes you ask, what responsibilities do we have as individuals and as a nation, to point our resources at solving these huge human challenges. Thank you for diving deep with us.
Thanks for listening to this overview of The Juice Today. Students read these stories at their own reading levels to improve their comprehension, vocabulary, critical thinking, and more. Learn more at thejuicelearning.com.